tool that doesn't miss a thing. You got it to come strong. If you come at all, you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna call my shot. Tell you what I've got. Road rage. Nothing you can do. You're gonna get into road rage. Road rage. Road rage. What is going on, South Carolina and all the ships at sea? How are you today, producer Ramona?
I'm great, Walt. How are you? Good.
Well, I beat this weather into the building. It was pretty obvious we were about to get absolutely hammered. And so drive safely if you're in this area, because it's gotten quite dark and quite nasty. And I don't know, you know, what comes next in this deal. But you know, I was sitting outside, as I usually do. And then I started hearing the sounds. I looked around me. I realized, oh, you know, it's pretty freaking dark for 3:15. You know, so I figured it may be best to just get in the building now. I don't mind driving home soaked after work, but I don't want to sit here for 4 hours soaked. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's just not something I want to do. We have a ton to get to today. We have a lot of college football stuff to get to. We were talking about South Carolina and Virginia Tech yesterday. We'll obviously continue that conversation at some point. We are going to carry Debo Sweeney's press conference live. I believe the ETA on that deal, Ramona, is what, 325?
325.
325. So we'll carry that live for you today. Later today, we will have our good friend D'Orlando Ledbetter rejoining us to talk some Atlanta Falcons football. You know, we've been breaking down the world of college football since February. The NFL, we've done two divisions, and I've made some probably bold stroke picks, and then I'm picking Dallas to win the NFC East, which I think is a bold stroke pick. But we've covered the NFC East, we've covered the AFC West, and we need to move on in that conversation. But, you know, I've been watching some of the news that's been coming out of the various camps, and you know, it's early on. The Atlanta Falcons have been involved in some boys will be boys fisticuffs kind of stuff. There's been some heated moments early in the Falcons camp, and it's funny how people react to this. Like D'Orlando Ledbetter, who we love, I don't think thinks it's very much a positive. I sort of do. I think you have to have a little of that. Now, you don't want, you know, full-fledged one guy gets a broken jaw and misses 4 months. You know, you don't want any of that. But I think you do need some of that. I mean, I think you're sort of on edge. I was watching a video this morning, and it was talking to some of the Falcon players. And one of the players they were speaking to was Ruka Ruraro. You know, and Rook hasn't gotten off to a particularly fast start in Atlanta. He was probably overdrafted a little, but man, he loves life. Rook loves life. I mean, he not only loves life, he loves football. He loves practice. He loves to talk noise, Ramona. In fact, he was asked about, you know, some of the conflicts they've been having, and he basically said, yeah, you know, I absolutely love it. He said, you know, he said, I love it. He said, I talk nonstop.
He said that about himself?
Yeah, he said, you know, basically he's admitting that he probably starts a lot of it. He says, because I talk nonstop. He said, I talk to everybody. He said, anybody on the other side of the ball, I'm talking to. So Rook, in other words, is talking all sorts of noise, and there have been some exchanges between the Falcons defensive personnel and the Falcons offensive line. And again, you know, like I said, I've seen some things where people, even our good friend D'Orlando, I don't think thinks it's great. I sort of do. Again, like I indicated, you don't want over the top. You know, you don't want it to go too far, but if you don't have some of that, then I don't think you're ready to play football. I mean, I think that's a sign that you're ready to play football. And I'm starting to think the Falcons are ready to play some football this year. I really am. You know, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. We dumped the Falcons, didn't we?
Yeah, we don't play the Falcons. I don't know if we dumped them. It's not NFL, so I don't know if we play them or not.
No, I think we... Well, no, the Falcons are NFL. What do you mean?
Yeah. I know, but we haven't started playing the NFL games yet.
Oh.
So I don't know if we do or not.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. And Texas said, nah, you need that competitive, brings out more out of you. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it is. I think you have to have, I think if you don't have any of that, that's when I'd be worried. You know, if you had none of that, I'd be very worried. I'd be worried that you have a team that's not ready to play football at all. Because, look, the other thing is, and Rook brought this up, he said, and he's doing all this, he's saying all this with a smile. He's saying, you know, it's also really hot out here. You know, so you're getting after it, you're energized, and, you know, they're not even in pads yet. You know, Rook is like, when are we get to be in pads? That's what he's saying. You know, he's saying, we're not even in pads. He said, when do we get to be in pads? And the female reporter told him, you know, whatever the date was, and he was, oh, yeah, you know, So, you know, they're anxious for more. They're anxious to get to the contact part of the whole deal. And I think it's a good sign. I do. A text said, don't get my hopes up for the Falcons, Walt. I'm actually feeling pretty good about the Falcons for a whole bunch of reasons. Now, we'll get into some of this stuff later. And we're waiting Dabo Swinney's press conference, in case you missed it when we opened the show. Apparently coming your way at 3:25 today, so we're awaiting that. We'll obviously have some conversation about what Dabo has to say and maybe some of the questions he's asked, that kind of thing. But in terms of this football team, you know, first of all, they did a pretty good job in this last draft. You know, a lot of people didn't like the double down stuff with Walker and Pierce. I did like it. And I said so. One of the reasons I liked it, I thought the Falcons have desperately needed pass rush help forever. And Pierce has been one of the early stars so far. Walker, there's something going on with Walker. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. D'Orlando had a message, a tweet the other day, a little bit cryptic. We'll have to ask about Walker and what his status is right now. But, you know, look, he's a coach's son. Walker is. He's a talented player. You know, the Falcons wanted him. The Falcons were trying to make a deal to get him at 7. When he fell to them at 15, that was a coup. And then they doubled back and got Pierce. And people thought that price was too high. Well, it depends which Pierce you get. And the one that Atlanta seems to have got is the one that's a dog, and he can play. So, the Falcons desperately needed an infusion of that, so I think they did a really good job in that regard. I also think they hit the bullseye with Xavier Watts, who I really felt was undervalued at draft time. The Falcons stole him, and they also stole Billy Bowman Jr., who's a football player. So, I think just in those four guys alone, I think the Falcons actually aced the draft. So, you know, there's been a lot of discontent, unhappy feelings about the Falcons in the last few years. I think you're starting to turn that around. You know, I also listened to a Kirk Cousins interview. You know, I sometimes don't know what to make of this guy. I mean, he says all the right things. I mean, he sounds like everybody's buddy. You know, he's really patient with questioners, people putting the mics in front of his face. He answers every one of them. He gives you thoughtful answers. It's really good stuff. I mean, when you listen to him, you know, what you learn about him, I don't know. But what you learn about other people on the team, I think, you know, it goes a long way. And he's very, very patient with all. Now, look, he's being paid a fortune not to even have to play. Now, he would like to play, obviously. But unless Michael Penix just gets hurt or tanks, Kirk Cousins isn't playing. Now, look, I don't know what happened to Kirk Cousins last year. He doesn't have an elite arm. Obviously, he has a substandard arm. And whatever happened last year, he went, I mean, he started throwing like a four-year-old. I mean, the ball had nothing on it. He was absolutely hideous. And change had to be made. It had to be made. Now, was he injured? Was that really where that took a more significant negative turn? You know, because remember, early in the season, he put up some games where he really had big yardage, and he looked better than he had had previously in his career. He had the one game where I think he threw for 500 yards, something.
Hey, Rudy wants to know if you think they'll get 9 wins or better, the Falcons.
I do. I think the Falcons are going to be right in the mix for that division. Now, being in the mix for that division is no great accomplishment. I mean, that division is still the worst in football. But, you know, I think going into the season, people, if you checked Vegas, and I haven't, but I'm sure that Tampa is the favorite in the division. Once you go beyond Tampa, I would think that the next favorite in the division might be Atlanta. And then beyond that, you get to the Saints and Carolina. And I don't know what Vegas thinks about the Saints or Carolina. Honestly, probably maybe Carolina. I don't know, in spot three, and the Saints in spot four. You know, the Saints are going to start a rookie quarterback in Tyler Shuck. And obviously, you've got a lot of turnover there, so we'll see. Maybe those bottom two flip-flop. But I think Atlanta's going to compete for the division. I would not be shocked if they won the division. Now, listen, Baker Mayfield's played really well for Tampa the last couple of years, and they still have weapons. And I think that's going to be a pretty good football team. You might see Tampa and Atlanta separate a little and maybe post better records than most people are anticipating. I mean, I don't think it's impossible that you could see an 11-win Tampa team, an 11-win Atlanta Falcons team. I think that's conceivable to me. I think both of those teams are going to be pretty good. I think Tampa's sort of a given. Atlanta's probably more of a wild card, but I'm starting to feel some optimism about things that are going on. Now, I'm not optimistic about the Mooney injury. I don't know what happened there. We'll find out later today. Atlanta's being sort of coy about that, Darnell situation and what his status is. Obviously, the Falcons need him. He was a 1,000-yard receiver last year. He compliments Drake London. He gives Penix another weapon. You really can't lose him. And I don't know, Raheem Morris was not exactly forthcoming in talking about whatever Darnell's shoulder injury is and what his time to return is. I mean, we're talking the start of the regular season, it sounds like. And anytime you extend that far out, I'm a little worried. So I'm a little worried about that element because Atlanta really needs him. But I think the defense is going to be better. I think the people they brought in, the people they drafted are all going to help. You know, when you listen to Falcon Circle people talk about Jesse Bates, they just love him. I mean, Kirk Cousins said that Jesse Bates is the smartest defensive back he's ever been around. That, you know, he talks to all these DBs. He's talked to DBs his whole career. Most of them have no real clue about offense. He said Jesse Bates seems to know more about offense than he does. And, you know, they studied film together and these type of things. And everyone knows what type of football player and what type of leader Jesse Bates is. Bates is really going to help the Falcons without question. And I want to see how that plays out. And, again, I really love the young safeties and Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman. I thought that Atlanta hit two winners with those two picks in the draft. Basically, you know, the Falcons – you know, listen, it cost the Falcons some to move around and to go get Pierce, but I think the bottom line is the Falcons basically aced their whole draft. And the jump to get Pierce right now looks like a big-time winning move. And, you know, again, there were a lot of people who were critical of that. I wasn't. I thought the Falcons needed to throw two draft picks at edge rusher because they just have not had that ingredient. So I'm expecting, you know, again, I don't know if there's anything going on with Jalen Walker right now. I'm also curious about Braylon Trice's progress. He seems like he's right on course. He himself said he feels like he's 100% right now. So I'm sort of interested in that because he's another guy that I think can complement, you know, the Walkers and the Pierces and the Leonard Floyds and this whole group. It seems clear to me that the Falcons are going to have way more pass rush potential than they have in any recent year. That's going to be a big plus. So now you go to the flip side and you have Michael Penix and his progress. Look, Penix was I've said it a million times. I'll say it again. Even with all due respect to Jaden Daniels, Penix was the best pure thrower in that draft, and I still think he is. I mean, Penix throws a beautiful ball. You know, I was listening to Ray McCloud talk a little bit about the distinctions, the differences in trying to catch a ball from a lefty as opposed to a righty. And he said, he's talking about, it's different. He couldn't really explain why it's different, but obviously the spin on the ball is different. He did talk about if you're running a vertical route, the direction you sort of have to lean as you're running that route, as opposed to whether you're going more toward the middle of the field or more towards outside, depending on whether it's a lefty or right or righty thrower. It wasn't really expounded upon, but it was interesting nonetheless. But look, Penix is an elite thrower of the football. He's a tremendous vertical thrower of the football. He has a really live arm. It's sort of a whipping motion, but he has a really live arm. I think we saw a lot of positive things out of Michael Penix last year, and I know that dude's going to continue to work and continue to get better. And look, I understand the dilemma of the whole Cousins thing, and I never would have done that way. If I was going to draft Michael Penix at 8, I never would have brought Kirk Cousins in. I don't know why you pay Kirk Cousins $100 million and then go draft Michael Penix. I think those two things together did not make sense, and I still don't think they made sense. Having said that, you know, and look, I don't know what the Falcons' ultimate goal here is with Cousins. Is it at some point to hope to get rid of him? Maybe it is. I will say this, you know, quarterbacks get hurt, and in the short term, at the very least, the Falcons probably have the best backup quarterback in the National Football League right now, certainly one of them. If something does happen to Penix, you know, look, I don't think any Falcon fan really wants to see Kirk Cousins as starter. I think he's a good guy. I think he's great to speak to. He's a great interview. He's very forthcoming. He's very honest in all those things. I still don't think any Falcon fan really wants to see him as the every-game starting quarterback. But to know you have him in reserve, that's an entirely different thing. So you hope Penix stays healthy, and you hope Penix does Penix things. I think Drake London's headed for an enormous year. He is a physical force as a receiver, and he's a physical force as a blocker. There are a lot of things to like there. And listen, nobody in the NFL really has a better running back combination than Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. I mean, those are both two tremendous football players. I mean, really, really gifted football players. And we saw it with Allgeier before Robinson was ever drafted. I mean, that's a great luxury to have those two guys. And apparently they're like best friends. That doesn't hurt either. So there are some weapons, and it feels like there's a new attitude in Atlanta. That's the vibe I'm getting from the Falcons. It feels like they are really sort of embracing this fresh start. And as a part of that, you know, I think all elements seem a little better to me. I haven't been optimistic about the Falcons. I don't even remember when I've last been optimistic about the Falcons, but I am pretty much optimistic right now in that I think they are going in the right direction under Morris. I think they drafted really well. You know, the front office has taken some criticism, but I think that this last draft, they did a bang-up job, and I think the results are going to be seen in short order. I think this is going to be a better Falcons team, a better group than we've seen in a while, with better talent and just a better overall feel. All right, we'll take a quick break here. Dabo Sweeney's press conference should be here on the other side.
Combine a Bojangles Chicken Supreme with a toasted bun that's great on the go, and you get Bo's Bird Dog. Grab two for $5 for a limited time only. It's Bo time.
Experience the Davis Services difference where quality meets reliability. Family owned, serving the upstate and western North Carolina since 1972, Davis Services is your go-to for all HVAC, plumbing, and electrical needs. With decades of expertise, we ensure your home runs smoothly and efficiently, providing peace of mind for you and your family. Don't wait for problems to escalate. Call Davis Services today and let our skilled team handle it all. Call 864-432-1785 or visit our website, davisservicesinc.com today.
We're here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, you need more people. Obviously, that's a good thing because the business is growing. But when someone comes to work for you, what do you hear from them about their work experience?
We're looking for team members who like to work outdoors and enjoy the culture of do the right thing. We're a company that's going to do right things for our employees, and then our employees do right things for the client and the community.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
How well do you know the condition of your home's plumbing system? Are you positive that there's not a slow drip behind a wall or under a cabinet? My name is Mike with One Time Plumber, and we're offering a free inspection on your home's entire plumbing system. We're checking everything out, but here's a few highlights of what we're looking for. The condition of your pipes, the condition of your water heater, the pressure in your shower. The list goes on, and we're going to inspect it for free.
The plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Time Plumber.
Tired of the same old look? Want to get a fresh, stylish haircut for the summer? Rooster's Grooming is the place to be. With highly skilled barbers and a comfortable, relaxed
environment. It's been a busy 3 weeks for us, just to get to this point. There's a lot that goes into it. About 5 days of kind of program meetings, if you will, staff stuff, local media day, ACC media day, ladies clinic. Just a lot going on. And then the last 2 days, just a ton of administrative and program meetings with our team. There's a lot of things, but, we need to make sure everybody's on the same page with before we, get to football. So we've got all that behind us, and the team's done a great job as far as preparing to get to this point. And staff's done a great job as well. And now it's time to get back on the grass and get to work and, start the football preparation part to get ready to go play a game. This is a fun time of year. The season's not starting right now. The season started in January. This is just the kind of the third quarter of this of our journey, of our 2025 journey, as we head into what we call the prime time phase. We have our get ready phase, our transformation phase, now we're going into the prime time phase, and it all builds to this. But this is the performance time. This is the time where, you only get a few days to play the game, and this is when those days present themselves. And excited about getting on the field and getting out there as a team and pushing forward, just one day at a time. But and I know you guys probably all interested in just where we are from a health standpoint as we get going. The only real long-term injury is we got a young linebacker named Billy Wilkes. He tore his ACL in the spring game, so he's kind of the only long-term guy. You'll see, some guys that are in green jersey today that are really doing great, and they're just kind of, in a ramp-up phase as far as when they'll be fully released to do everything. And again, if you're in green, you're in practice. Green just means we're not going to have any live contact. They're going to do all the work. We're just going to have, avoid the live stuff with them. But Jay Haynes, Armand Mason, and Ari Watford, and Watson Young, those guys will be, rolling, pretty quickly. I think Watson actually is going to be full go tomorrow, but those other three guys are all doing good. They're doing really well. So we've just got a good plan with our medical staff as far as their ramp up into full go. And then some guys that are in yellow today, Olsen, Pat Henry, Juju Preston, and Peyton Strecko, not long term, but just out for a few days here or there. Olsen had to have his tonsils out. So he's probably, going to be a couple days late before he can get going. Just something that needed to go ahead and do. It's not something he's having to deal with during the season. Juju's battling a little hamstring, and then Strecko's battling just a little shin pain. But they're short term. It could be 2 weeks, could be 6 weeks, but that's kind of a short term thing. So Billy Wilkes is the only long-term guy at this point. And so we're in a good spot. So we got For the first time, you know, for this year, we're actually get a chance to be a complete team getting out on the field. So that'll be a lot of fun. All right, so that's just a little update as far as health and stuff and kind of status of what's been going on the last few weeks. And now it's go time. We got a good plan as far as how we go about our business and how we ramp up practice-wise today, Friday, Saturday. We won't go more than 3 days as far as on our legs. At a minimum every fourth day will be might just be meetings. We'll do something, but not necessarily on the field. So, for example, we got this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday is just meetings. There won't be any practice. We'll go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday will be a all meeting day, and we'll have a little team outing, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday will be pictures. I think we're doing fan day. Are we doing that? We're going to our event. Okay. So we're doing that, and then we'll get into that last week of camp. So we've got a good plan to get them ready, and these first between now and next Wednesday is what we call acclimatization. So it's all structured and looking forward to it. Going to be a lot of fun. Got a good group. Got a lot of energy to them. Got a lot of good experience. We've got a lot of work to do.
Coach, you already had a great quarterback run. Now Hunter Helms is back. How did that all come about, and what does he bring to the room?
Yeah, I mean, Hunter just, he wants to coach. And, when he left to go play last year, he told me that. And I said, well, just get done, let me know. And, so he was coming back as an intern. Honestly, I didn't even know he had another year of eligibility. Why not have him on the roster, right? Like, he's coaching. I mean, he's doing Paul Tyson. He's in staff meetings. He's in all the coaching mode. But we'll keep him lathered up too. He's a pretty experienced kid who's played some football that really, doesn't need a lot of reps and could go and execute at a high level for you if you had to have him. So we really love our quarterback room, but it's just kind of, like I said, one of those things, kind of kick yourself if you didn't. Again, I've been there, right? Like, I mean, the national championship in 18, I love to tell everybody and remind everybody, we had Trevor Lawrence, Chase Bryce, and my third team quarterback was Hunter Renfrow. And my fourth team was Will Spires, the punter. That was our roster. That's where we were.
In fact,
in the Syracuse game when Trevor got knocked out, because I had moved that week, I moved Hunter to the quarterback room and Will, took him out of the receiver room, and I'll never forget Hunter coming up to me when Trevor got knocked out and chased up. He came, he goes, does this mean I'm the backup now? I said, yeah. I said, I just hope you don't have to throw it to yourself. But anyway, fun moment. On a really bad moment.
If you could address this, I'm sorry, but with the 105, to you, when does that 105, when is that live? Like, hey, I have 105 scholarships now.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it now, January, you start giving them the walk off? Like, how's that going to work for you?
Yeah, so for us, and probably for most, everybody, like, this, you have a lot of guys. And so for us, this first year in particular, we kind of have recruited our roster to where it is, but there's a lot of kids that we were going to keep. So, we got a lot of guys that were on our roster that you're not going to have 105 Wescos. First of all, you can't pay them all, and they're not going to stay. So you have to build your roster. You got to have a little bit of everything, so you're 85, you're 105, and you got to have guys that you think can develop and guys that can help you. But we got a lot of those guys on this team, and a bunch of them that have roles that are snappers. We've got – Fletcher Cothran, Griffin Back, some of these guys y'all may or may not know, guys that have played for us that, we know we want to keep. Parker Fulgham, these are guys, Clark, these are kids that we are like, they could develop. And you need some developmental guys as a part of your roster. But when they grandfathered everybody, we just designated everybody to protect everybody. Because if you're not designated, then because you if you wanted to leave and go play somewhere or something, you couldn't. So it'll phase down pretty quickly over the next 3 years to 105. But as our roster matriculates out, like we've got some seniors, guys that have been in our program that we'll put in the 105 this year. And as they graduate, well, now you can't go get a kid to walk on. So you got to go find guys that are, you know, maybe they're preferred walk-on type guys or they're borderline guys. So it'll be changing every year. But we don't have to technically declare the 105 until the week of the LSU game, you know. So, but we know, you know, who those guys are, like Peyton Strecko. Like, he's a kid we want to keep in our program. Right? We want to keep this kid. We've got guys like that that are all throughout. And then we got the guys that are you know, pretty much just the true walk-on guys that you know, we're thankful that we're able to have them. I think we're going to be at like 126, and that because some of the kids came back, you know, like Peter Nern, Zach Jackson, Dominique Cardone, those guys all came back. They all moved on because they thought their career was over and they weren't going to be in 105, you know, so – because we originally, remember, we were going to have to be at 105, like nobody else on your roster. And so then they came back and said, no, we'll grandfather everybody who was on your roster last year or could have been on your roster this year. So, you know, we had some walk-on guys, inventory guys that had tried out and stuff, so we were able to bring a few of them out. We got some guys to come back, and so they can be on the roster until their eligibility's up. But some of them, like I said, they had moved on because they knew they weren't going to be in the 105. And, I mean, you're talking about mat drills and spring ball and all this stuff. And, you know, so there was a few of them that when we reached back out, hey, they're going to grandfather. Do y'all want to come back? Because we need you. And I'm so thankful that those guys chose to come back and be a part of our program. Tristan Martinez, I mean. And then we had a couple kids like Sam Earl and Max Wilson. You know, Seth Carranzas, we had some of those kids that came out in the spring, and we told them straight up, you got zero chance of being the 105. But, boy, we sure could use you. If you want to, Jack Perkerson, like, we're like, if you guys want to just go through mat drills, and I said, now, you can be on the team, but you got to do everything. You know, but, and you're going, and I just want you to know, with clear eyes, you're going to do all this, but you're going to be cut the week of the LSU game. But you get to be a part of it between now and then. If you want to do that, hey, you can come on out. And the cool thing about those kids is because they did something with no guarantees that was really, really hard, they created opportunity for themselves in life. Because if they not done that, they wouldn't be on the team now. And so that's a cool lesson for them, you know, moving through their life. Like, they chose to do something really hard that had absolutely no guarantees to it. And now they get to be on the team. And they're grandfathered in until their eligibility's up. So it's cool. So anyway, you know, that's where we are. But like I said, we know who our 105 is, and you know, there might be a couple kids over the next couple years that get bumped up into that. But you know, we'll have to recruit to that as we go through it. You've got a number. Now that you're at 105, your number changes at every position. So if you're going to have, if your number's 15 at receiver, well, again, you're not going to have 15 TJ Moores. That's not reality, but you got to go recruit them, so you got to put your number together somehow. So you'll have a combination of what that will look like.
Olson had to be out 6 months.
No. He's just a couple days. He had his tonsils out. No, I said like Strecko, Juju, and Strecko and Juju. They could be, you know, 2 to 6 weeks, just depending. But no, Olson just a couple days. He just come. They have to hold him because he just had his tonsils out, and so hopefully he'll be, you know, hopefully by Monday he's out there rolling.
Takeaways from the big weigh-in yesterday. Anybody that stood out to you?
I mean, there were a bunch of kids honestly that stood out. I could tell that the guys have really bought in. There was a lot of guys that have changed their bodies. A guy like Strozier. I mean, he's really, you can just obviously tell he's thicker. How about Cade Klubnik? Yeah, he's 175 pounds when he got here. He's 212 yesterday. I mean, he looks great. You know, he'll probably settle out in that 208 range, 209, you know, when he gets through camp. But he's got a great foundation going into camp. And we had a bunch of linemen that looked really, really good. I mean, a guy like K-Part, man, he looked – I mean, just there was a bunch of guys that really jumped out to me, and it's just obvious that they've really been committed. You know, because again, you don't just show up on a day like that and be elite. You know, you got to do a lot of work to get to that point, I think our entire team really bought into what they had to do individually to come back and not necessarily be the final version, but the best version of themselves since they've been at Clemson. And, so it's a good group.
Just to clarify, Jay Haynes, what are reasonable expectations for him? Could he be available?
Yeah, that's all up to the medical team. He's in green. He and Armand and Ari, and they're, again, all doing great. I don't know. I mean, it just depends on, we got to get out there and get going and get practicing. But he's in green right out of the gate, so that means he's in practice. And it'll be up to the doctors and medical team when they say, hey, he's full go. Could be next week. Could be the first game. Could be game three. I'd have no idea how these guys are going to, show up and respond. I mean, I just know where he's at, and I know that he's in a really, they're in a really good spot. They wouldn't put him in green if he wasn't ready to go. He'd be out there in yellow. So he's in a good spot when it comes to his, his return to play protocol. But I don't have anything to do with that. And I have no way of answering that. I've seen nothing on the field with him, but I just know what they say. And those guys are doing great and on their way. And we'll get them back at some point. So they're day to day.
Just what do you think about the reports weekly? Is that going to simplify things?
I mean, we did that. I don't even know what year we did that. We did that one somewhere along the way. We did it for a long time. Is that when we stopped doing it, COVID? I don't know. There was somewhere, you stay somewhere long enough, it'll come back around, right? It's like short shorts and mullets. You just hang around, they come back. I don't know. What is it? Doubtful, probable, out, questionable. I mean, it don't really change anything to me. Day to day, I mean, we'll figure it out when we get to it. But no, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, as long as everybody else is doing that stuff, I don't have a problem with it at all.
We've done game day
availability. Yeah, we've always done the game day stuff. So no big deal to me. Just, Ross will tell me, and we'll do it in our Thursday staff meeting, I'm sure, like when we do we go over injury stuff every morning. So on Thursdays, is that Thursday? So we have to do something on Thursday. So we'll decide, and then we'll go from there. But, yeah, no big deal.
What has stood out from Coach Allen over the last six, seven months, and what are we going to see this fall that might be a little bit different than what we've seen in the last couple
of months? Same guy every day. I mean, he's, that's the main thing I would say I've seen. Same guy every day, ton of energy. He's incredibly organized, incredibly passionate about, what he does. And I just think he's done an awesome job creating the buy-in with the staff, leading the staff, and just really leading the defense and setting the tone for what it needs to look like. So that's it. I mean, he's done a great job, and again, detailed, organized, ton of energy, and again, just really has led at a high level for us. So it's been exciting to see that, and I think you'll see a lot of consistency, from that group. Certainly got a tough opener. It ain't patty cake right out of the gate, but it's exciting, But I think when it's all said and done, it'll be a staff and a defense that'll be very consistent when the season comes to an end.
What's your take on the Uncle Sam position and sort of what you're hoping to see? Who you're hoping to see emerge there?
I mean, it all depends. I mean, a lot of that is who you're playing. What does their personnel look like? Are they 12 personnel? Are they 11 personnel? Are they 10 personnel? Is their best receiver a slot guy? I think all of those things dictate, who you put on the field. Offense decides who they're putting out there, and then defensively, you got to respond to that. And so I think the main thing for us is making sure we come out of camp with an answer. Who's our big nickel? Who's our true, we call it tiger. We call it the tiger position. Who's our kind of every down tiger, and who's our best cover tiger, you know, what I would call a true nickel corner, you know, if you will. So I think it just all depends on who you're playing and what to make of it. But we need answers, and we've got to have some flexibility. And I think that's been something we've talked a lot about in the spring, and they've worked hard on. And we got, the good news is we got, you know, a lot of really good candidates, a lot of good depth, and a lot of options for whatever presents itself to us to be able to game plan appropriately.
Jeremiah Alexander be an every down tiger?
I wouldn't say he's an every down tiger. He certainly could as far as play the position, but no, you're not going to ask him to, you know, play man coverage on Antonio Williams. It all goes back to who's on the field and what you're asking them to do. And then, you know, what are you doing in the game plan that week? Are you a coverage? Are you a lot of coverage? Are you hot pressures? You're going to play a lot of man that week? Like, what, you know, what's the game plan? I think that, again, dictates, you know, how you put your personnel in the field.
Just to expound on Jeremiah, TJ and Peter talked a lot about his work ethic just from being here.
If everybody worked like Jeremiah Alexander, this would be the easiest job in America. I mean, he's unbelievable. I mean, and you just love, and you just pull for a kid like that. Like, his commitment is, you know, like, here's what's expected. He's up here. I mean, he's just a phenomenal young man. You know, great parents. He's a graduate already, and he's got 2 years of eligibility. And I'm excited. I'm so glad he's here. He gives us we needed another veteran guy. We got a lot of young guys, and we needed another like real veteran guy. even though he hadn't played a lot, he's had some injuries and stuff. But man, he has truly been committed, and he's been above and beyond in everything that's been asked him. And so excited to see him get out there and get to work. And we need some depth. We know what we got in Sammy and Wade, obviously. Those guys are proven guys for us here. And, man, Jeremiah has done everything he can within his power to give himself the best chance to go compete. You know, learning a new system, you know, being in elite shape, he's just a grinder, man. The guy wants it. And he's one of those type of people that you really pull for because he's done the work.
Coach, everybody knows about the returning production you have at wide receiver, but guys like Tyler Brown, Cole Turner, who have battled injuries, what are you hoping to see from them in camp?
Just health, good health, you know, consistent availability. And I think if we get that from those guys, they'll have consistent production. Really confident guys, really proud of those guys. I mean, they've been starters, you know, so they get it. I mean, we've got, like I told y'all, we went in the spring with five guys that we absolutely know can play winning football as a starter for us. And we came out with six because Tristan really kind of jumped into that mix. So I love our depth there. And we've got the experience to go with it, which is awesome. You know, this time last year, got guys hurt, new guys getting ready to play. So we're just in a different place. But Cole and Tyler are going to be critical to our success this year. So if you ask me what I'm looking for, they'll do the football part. I just a consistent availability, you know, and just having their best fall camp, and staying healthy.
Ashton Hampton moving around a lot at different positions over his career. Do you see him this early sticking a corner or being flexible enough to?
Yeah, we'll see. But, you know, a lot of that depends on, again, who's the best players. You know, we got some questions to answer. Who's the best players? And is it another corner that needs to be on the field? Is it another safety that needs to be on the field? Those are all questions that you figure out as you go through camp. But as a football player, Ashton can do a lot of things. There's no doubt about it. And we really kind of locked him in at corner last year. And I think that's where he'll start out. And we'll go from there. We'll just see. And, again, that's a week-to-week thing. Like, you know, end of the day, you want to get the best players you can on the field. But as far as the longevity of his career, as he goes through his career, not just here, but you know, beyond here. I mean, I think he'll end up playing a lot of positions as he really becomes really confident in the game and just continues to mature as a player. He's a unique talent.
What are the next steps for his progression?
Kind of what I said, Tyler and Cole, just be out there. You know, last year he was never healthy, so he really couldn't. He just kind of stayed the same all year because he was just kind of trying to. He didn't have confidence. He was not healthy. He's just kind of working his way back. Really saw a light come on this spring. It's the first time since he'd gotten here that I actually saw him healthy. And so the next step for him is to, you know, get out there and play with the confidence that he's got to have. And I think to have that confidence, you got to be healthy. And he is. He feels great. He looks great. And he really grew a lot in this offseason as far as just his maturity. So he's just got to go do it. You know, just one day at a time. But he's super talented. We all know that. But this is really the first time that he's the best version of himself since he got here. But this is the first time that I think he's a complete player. There's been something missing since the day he got here. You know, he had knowledge. He wasn't healthy. You know, a lot of stuff. But he's very comfortable. He's healthy. He's so much more knowledgeable. And you know, so now he's just got to show up and do the work every day. And at a consistent level, if he does that, he'll be able to compete with anybody.
With a guy like Ian Sheflin, his first time out there on the field, I guess, do you expect him to have a learning curve?
Who was that again?
Ian Sheflin.
Oh, Sheff?
Yeah, do you have a learning curve on basketball going to football first?
Absolutely. He's going to have a huge learning curve. Especially when Peter Woods runs through his chin strap. He's going to have a quick learning curve. When he runs that swap zone and kicks out T.J. Parker, hadn't played football since the 10th grade, so it's been a while, but this is a high level athlete now. This is a highly competitive dude. I'm really proud of him. It's been fun to just kind of watch him blend in and just kind of, you know, you go from a group of about 15 to 125 people and just a lot. There's a lot to manage when you got that many people. And he's done great, man. He's done great. He's bought in. He's gotten stronger. He's really worked hard to give himself the best chance mentally to go compete. You know, I think he'll be fine when it comes to catching the ball and running routes. I think all that stuff will come pretty quick for him. But, you know, he got to take the physical part to it. And so there's definitely going to be a learning curve. There's no doubt about it, but I think he's just who he is. We'll shorten that.
From the spring, at your backup safety spots with Roland and Ricardo, how close are they to kind of reaching the level to where you kind of trust them, or they've bridged the gap to getting some playing time in there?
They're all right there. I mean, that's going to be a weekly battle. We got some dudes at safety. I mean, we got some really good football players. They all want to play. They're all very, very competitive. I mean, we got some experience. You know, we didn't move Ronan to safety until, you know, a week and a half before the first game last year. And he played last year, zero fundamentals, zero offseason. Everything was receiver. So now he's had a season in the meeting rooms. He's had film study, he's had a spring, he's had off season, he's had individual work, drill work, et cetera, et cetera. He's just a different guy and really, really talented. Ricardo, same thing, really, really talented football player. Colin Griffin, you know, doesn't get enough credit, very steady. He's got a lot of experience, and experience breeds confidence. You know, he's made some plays, I mean, and he's been a good work in progress. Obviously, Khalil has been a big time player for us. You know, T-Bone has played everywhere and is a great guy, you know, for us as well. So, I mean, it's just a group that, you know, Robert Billings, Colin Webb, we got a lot of guys. that are kind of in the mix. Joe Wilkinson was 200 pounds yesterday. He's really, you know, developing. So we got some redshirt freshmen. We got some true freshmen like Keenan, who just got here. And then we got some sophomores, and et cetera. It's a good group. It's going to be fun to see. But, you know, I think I'd say we probably got five guys going in. I think any of them could start that are really, I think, right there going in. Somebody else may jump in that group. But I think for sure, you know, guys, like we got to play people, and we got to make sure that, you know, when you, and I really believe that, like, okay, if it's 50-50, like, you just play them, right? Like, I mean, we've had that before. I mean, we had Vic Beasley and Shaq Lawson and Kevin Dodd and Tavares Barnes and Corey Crockett, and we just played them. I mean, like, we could rotate. I don't know, you know. It was really close, but only run one guy out there. But I do think, and I think that's what we have at receiver. And I think that, you know, if it's 70-30, then we got to do a good job of making sure that guy gets that 30. That creates competition, that creates development, that creates morale. And then the cumulative effect of that over the course of the season is important. But I think we've got, you know, a group of guys that maybe they're not all kite 50-50, but, you know, they're 60-40. They're not far off from each other. So it'll be fun competition.
Point. What's an ideal situation for the running back room? Are you hoping to see a month from now that maybe a guy has separated, or you're perfectly fine with two or three guys rotating through? Do you find that to be an ideal situation?
I think an ideal situation for me is they all you know, show that they can do it. They all deserve to play. That'd be ideal for me. That we come out of camp going, geez, man, this is really, really hard. That's ideal for me. I really know they're, you know, it's kind of the unknown factor, I guess, but we got some good players, some good guys right there. I think they're gonna do well.
Vic Burley going into year three. Coach Easton said he took a nice step forward this spring and
he
this
did.
Summer.
Yeah, I'll be a redshirt sophomore. You know, he same thing, kind of had some struggles early on, redshirted, missed a bunch of time, injuries, et cetera, and he just hadn't really been able to put it together with any type of consistency. And this spring was really the first time that, like, you just saw it. And we go, okay, there it is. And we saw flashes, and then he was hurt, and then he would be out. Missed a lot of time. And so, you know, he's had a good spring and a good summer. So he's a redshirt sophomore, and he's a guy that we're counting on. We need him to take that next step for us this year. He can do it.
Coach, when you're going in,
he can also progress the way that he wants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he and TJ Moore. I mean, they're on their way to being grown men. You know, they both look totally different than they did, you know, last year at this time, and in every aspect. Physically, mentally, you know, TJ had just gotten here this time last year and had a lot to learn. So both those guys in a good spot.
Coach, when you go into fall camp, what are your biggest goals or things that are top of mind to either address right away or get everything going in a positive direction to start?
Yeah, just our practice habits, you know. I mean, how we practice. You know, you don't create game habits on game day. You know, those what you do on game day is a reflection of how you practice. And so creating game habits at practice. And so that's just setting the tone for that, you know, how you practice, how we prepare, how we meet, you know, also, you know, how they recover, how they take care of their body, you know, all of those things. Obviously building team, that's a big part of camp, because now you're getting ready to be together all day, every day. From morning until 10 o'clock at night. We're together every day, all day, for the next 2.5 weeks. There's no school, there's nothing, it's just football. And so the team aspect of it, making sure we come out of this thing, you know, together. And then how to practice, like how to practice the right way against each other. That's also a big part, you know, as we get going, early part of camp. So those are the main things. You know, and just making sure that our conditioning is where it needs to be, et cetera. So that's always where it starts when we get out of camp. And when, you know, then obviously you got the football stuff where you're going to get your installation in. You know, you got to install your offense, install your defense, your kicking game. You really want to, you know, spend a lot of time because you have a lot of time on the fundamentals, the techniques. The other thing is you want to evaluate your young guys. So it's the first time we've been on the field with a lot of these guys. And so we rep everybody. There's no clock when it comes to 20-hour rule and all that stuff. So we want to, we get everybody reps. So there's just a lot that you're trying to get done in a short amount of time in these next couple of weeks. So when we come into school that Wednesday, you know, 10 days out or whatever, hey, now it changes. Now your time changes. You're repping two groups. You've got scout teams, the whole deal. So we got a lot of decisions to make these next couple of weeks. But, again, it just starts with the basics, how to practice, you know. And, again, the basics of what we do offensively, you know, the base install, and then we go from there. Because you try to install as much as you can in fall camp so that you can grab onto that, not all for the first game, but it was game four. But it's something that you installed in fall camp that you built the foundation with.
On that note, though, when you have such an experienced roster, so many guys on this team that have gone through several preseason camps, does it feel like you're starting steps ahead in terms of that preseason preparation?
Well, I mean, you have a bunch of guys that can do more, you know, day one, but you're only as good as your weakest link. So, you know, we start over every year. And, you know, you got to fall in love with the basics. You know, it's just that simple. You know, it doesn't matter if you've been here 4 years or whatever. It all starts with the basics. And that's what you got to be fanatical about, you know, because in the end, those are the things that win or lose for you. So, yeah, we got some guys that could go out there and play right now, you know, from a mental standpoint, ready to go. But, you know, you're only as good as that weakest link. So we got to make sure that everybody is where they need to be.
What went into the decision to not publicize the results from the big weigh-in yesterday?
I didn't even know we printed that stuff. He asked me if I wanted to. I was like, did we put that out? And I was like, well, we don't need to put that out. Just let them ask me about it. So, you know, I know we've always videoed the whatever, whenever we started videoing stuff. But, yeah, I didn't really see a need to put it out and send that to our opponents and all that stuff. Just let them keep guessing.
Larry.
But I'm happy to answer any questions for y'all.
I was mentioning nickel before, talking to Jamal Anderson. We played last year 2:10-15. Where do you want him to be? Do you want him to fill in?
I think he was like 2:26 or something yesterday. He looked great. But, you know, he missed all spring. You know, really wasn't out there. So, it's a big year for him, and we need him, you know. So, I mean, he needs to jump in there at will and get ready to roll. He could play some Sam in certain personnel situations, but, you know, we got him kind of penciled in there, I think, at will to see what he can do, you know. But the biggest thing is just getting out there going. He wasn't in a position to compete physically, and now he is. You know, he's not going to play linebacker for us at 200 pounds, you know. But he's done the work. He's put himself in a good spot, and you know, so now he's got a chance to go compete, and we'll see what he can do. Been a great special teams guy for us, but he needed a little girth, and so he's looks good. He's really done what he needs to do, and bought into it.
Coach, you go through some culture killers as you install the program, and I'm just curious if there was one that.
Didn't you just go from over there to now you're over here?
Yeah, I'm just trying to multitask.
Okay, you're multitasking. Okay, all right.
But I saw you talking about the culture killers during the program installation. I'm curious if one stood out this year or one that you really focus on and how you try to not have that creep in.
No, I focus on every. We spend, you know, it's part of our all-in meetings as a staff. We go through a lot. There's a lot of stuff that we cover, a lot of stuff that we talk about. You know, that's leadership, that's philosophy, it's motivation, inspiration, you name it, learning lessons, et cetera. We go through a lot of things, you know, obviously in addition to our roster and football and all that stuff. But, no, it's just part of our annual deal. There wasn't anything. We got a great culture, but I think it's one of those things you gotta work on daily. That's part of, I call those meetings, that's our program installation and culture infusion, if you will, to make sure that it's connected, that everybody understands, who we are, not just what we do, how we do it, but why we do it, the way we do it, and that we're all, on the same page, and everybody knows what everybody's responsibility is, and it's really A to Z, and that's just a part of the leadership development. There's a lot of leadership development that goes into that, so it's just a part of it.
Elijah Thurman getting most of his reps.
He can play anywhere. I mean, he could start at guard. He could start at tackle. I mean, I think right out of the gate, he'll probably try to battle at guard. But I mean, he started left tackle for us last year. So he's also working at center. Those of you who remember him in the recruit process, he snapped some in high school too. So he's another guy that we're really developing across the board. But he could play anywhere, And we're really fortunate from that standpoint because we got a couple of guys like that, like Sadler, Elijah. Those two guys, could really play anywhere. I think Sadler's been working on some snapping as well. Just trying to create as much depth as possible. But, Sadler could go play left tackle, right tackle, left guard, right guard, and I'd put Elijah in the same category. So it gives us a lot of, because again, who's your best five? And in our case, we legitimately have seven starters in the offensive line. Not like seven guys that they have, like these are seven guys that absolutely could start for us, seven guys that will play no matter who runs out there first. Day one, all right? I don't see any form or fashion, unless somebody's hurt, that those seven guys don't play. Who's the eighth? I'd say Braden's right there, and then we kind of go from there. Dietrich and Wade and Easton, and we start getting into, our younger guys. But I think we got a chance. I want us to come out of camp with 10, but we got seven starters. And, we just got to cross-train some of them. And Sadler and Thurman are two guys that give us some opportunity. So we'll see how it goes.
In terms of Gideon Davidson, where do you think he grew the most during spring, or does he still have to grow?
Just knowledge. I mean, just first time getting here and just learning what to do, learning how to line up, learning what the protections are, learning what the language was. That's where he's grown the most. Physically, he's gifted. He showed up here that way. God blessed him, and he's just even better than he was physically because he's had a whole off season. So physically he's really gifted, but where he's grown the most is just mentally. And he's not running out there like he knows where to go line up today. He knows where indie period. He knows where what practice looks like. He's just mentally further along because he went through the spring. So that's a blessing for him. And as we get into our day one installation today, he's done it. He went through it in the spring. He went through it this summer. So this is his third time to get installation. So just mentally, he's a lot further along. And, what I want to see from him is, is he further along from a performance standpoint when it comes to really ownership of the offense, protections, really dialing in on that type of stuff.
Avion's still at
180-ish? Yeah, he's somewhere in the 80s. Looks great. I think he's about 188, maybe, something like that.
Right, what's the
190? Yep, he's 190-ish, 191, somewhere in there. Looks great. Yep.
Anyone else for Coach?
Yeah, he's done well. He was out, all spring for sure. So he's been working his way back. But last year he was kind of in our top four, group, and we had a lot of confidence in Kobe. But unfortunately, he got hurt, and just kind of had to start over from that standpoint. Go get healthy, So he didn't really, he got out there, I think, in some green jersey stuff this spring, but he wasn't able to get any live stuff. So he's just got to, he looks great. I mean, he looks great physically. He's strong. You know, Kobe's a football dude. You know, he don't say a whole lot, but he's a football guy. You know, he understands the game. He's not as big as some people, but he really knows how to use what he has. I mean, he's a good football player. So, you know, he's a guy that we need. You know, he gives us another veteran guy. And so he's a guy that we need to step up and come through for us, because that's one of the goals that we got to achieve coming out of fall camp is the depth at linebacker. Like, we got to walk out of camp, okay, hey, we got five guys that we can play and go get it done with. And then, okay, where's Young Wood as? You know, he looks amazing, by the way. He's 220-something pounds. I mean, there ain't much difference between it. He looks great. But where's Young Wood as? Where's C.J. Kuba-Taylor, who looks great? Where's he at? Logan Anderson. I can't wait to see Logan Anderson. He's the first time I've seen him. You know, he's 200 and I think he was 226, 227. That's a good football player. I've yet to see him take one rep, because, you know, he didn't get to practice this spring. So where are those guys? But we got to come out of camp really feeling good about, you know, five or six guys. We need Kobe to, you know, show he's one of those guys.
Anyone else? All right, thank you, Coach.
All right, let's get ready. The boys are back in town. Let's do it.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Chances are good that at some point, it'll happen to you. Roof troubles. It's one of the most important parts of your biggest investment. So when you need repairs or a new installation, you need someone who you can trust to get the job done right. You need Joe Robertson & Son Roofing.
As a family-owned and operated roofing company since 1965, Joe Robertson & Son have built a reputation for quality craftsmanship. It's why thousands of upstate home and business owners have chosen them for their roofing needs. Beyond providing quality work they're proud to stand by, Joe Robertson & Son Roofing also takes a client-first approach to their job. That means quality.